Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I want to read some scripture here that's really tells you how to operate and function in life concerning things that bother you. I would first want to start with 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Notice this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That's what Jesse the Planter's ministries has done. In all these years of ministry, I have never had a scandal. Our ministry is sexually pure. Our ministry is financially pure. How did you do that? How do you live clean like that? I renounce things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You'd be surprised how many ministers have fallen because of adultery, financial trouble, because they handled the word of God deceitfully. They used the power that God gave them, but not to help people, but to help themselves. So I'm going to get into a few things here. See, Paul said this. See, and that's why I believe I walk in the success I do. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, which means this, you can think what you want about me because I'm going to give you good things to remember. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So I understand why people don't understand why I do what I do, why I preach the gospel. See, they just think it's a money thing. When it's no, by no means. It is a saving thing. Amen. It's the anchor that anchors you to the next life. Some people say, I don't believe that. That still don't change it. Now go with me right now to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then Paul begins to get very right where the rubber meets the road, like we say here in America. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. My Lord. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. When you get this kind of thing, because everyone has went through some things in life or going through some things in life. But you see, what you got to be very careful is that Satan, with the help of the church, extends your persecution. All right. Extends it, makes it longer. If it was supposed to just last a few minutes, they'll make it last a year and make you think you're glorifying God in the process. Now, if you keep going, you get to verse 17, which is very important. He says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Stop. But for a moment. The problem with the devil and the church, they made it a lifetime. You expect to get beat up all the days of your life, but you know, if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. Don't that sound touchy? Don't that just sound, bless God, denominational, non-denominational, interdenominational? How you doing? The devil beat me up all week, but I'm standing, Brother Jesse. I'm standing, Brother Jesse. You have been infected with a deceit that's handling the word of God deceitfully to keep people coming. If you can keep the pressure on them. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good here. I want you to listen to me now. He said, our light affliction is but for a moment. Didn't say a lifetime. That's why people get mad at me because I got too much joy. Why? Because my afflictions, I keep them just for a moment. I don't let them get any higher than a moment. You understand? And a moment is just like that. Not a lifetime. And he called it a light affliction. Church world calls it heavy affliction. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. Come on. You see what I'm saying? So I don't deal with those kind of areas. So when the devil tries to put something on me that's going to last a long time. No. I said, this is light. And it's only going to happen a moment. Not a lifetime. Now watch this. Jeez, I'm going to buy this tape myself. For our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now watch this. This is where I want to get to, verse 18. This is what I want to deal with this morning. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, I'm going to answer all that in just a minute. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. Your sickness is temporary. Your poverty is temporary. Your hate is temporary. Hey, Lord Jesus. That's a little proclaiming now. Lord, Lord. I can feel the black coming out of me now, Lord Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, temporary. Watch this. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what's not seen? What's not seen? Now, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things not seen. Can you quote the rest of the verse? Quote it. Now, faith is the substance of things. A little louder. Now, faith is the substance of what? I got you. Want to make sure. So what is not seen your faith? Why does God keep faith in the unseen? Because if you can't see it, neither can the devil. See, he walking blind. Because he only goes by what he sees. You go by what you believe. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The what? The what? The what? The what? Evidence. 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 Sound like that's coming from California. That sounds like Pastor Fred there for a minute. Evidence. The evidence of what? So you have more evidence of things not seen do you have of evidence of things that are seen. Because faith is bigger than any problem you got. Now watch this here. Let's go back to that verse. Lord Jesus. Let me go verse 17 again. For our light affliction. Did you hear that, devil? It's light. Which is but for a moment, glory to God, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, here is the problem. God says, you don't deny things that are seen, you just don't look at them. He says, look not at the things that are seen. He didn't say deny them. He just said, don't look at. Why does everybody bring up the problems they have the week they had before they go to church? And yet, why? What good is that going to do anybody? Just make them feel like they got some companionship when all of y'all are hurting the same? Why don't you bring up your answer? Why don't you say, the devil tried a light affliction, but I throw the heavy power on it. You see what I'm saying? So I don't deny things that happen to me. I deny it's right. Prime example, not long ago, in fact, just a couple, 2 or 3 days ago, I don't know what happened. I got up, and when I got up, my hip went, oh, I went like, oh, like this. I mean, it was like as if you took a knife and stuck it in my hip. I thought, what is this, you know? I don't remember pulling a muscle. I don't remember any of that nature, you know. I mean, I do my exercise, all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you one thing. I very seldom have any time off, but I wanted a day off. I wanted to go down to Mr. B's and have me a little gumbo ya-ya. Kathy wanted to go down there and look around a little bit. We had like a Saturday morning off and a Saturday afternoon. And it was Friday, her birthday is what it was. Make a long story short. Kathy said, well, I guess, you know, maybe we ought to stay here. Jesse, you, I ain't never seen you look like it. I said, no. No, I will not let this destroy my day. Why? Because it's temporary. I'm not a temporary person. I'm an eternal person. Title of this sermon is, I'm not temporary. I am eternal. I create my future. Not circumstances, not the devil, not anybody that's mad at me. I determine what happens to me. I am the architect of my life. I am the blueprint. You understand? I draw myself into what I want. So I got up, Bonnie, we did this. Kathy said, well, you want to stay home? No, I'm going. She said, well, you going to walk all the way down? Yeah, I'm going to walk all the way down. And people kept seeing me do this. Oh, Lord Jesus. Why? Did you deny it? No, I just didn't look at it. See, that's the problem with people that don't understand faith. They think that we telling people to deny something that's happening. Like when you tell people, by Jesus stripes, you're healed. No, I ain't healed. I am sick. I'm not dealing with your am sick. Would you get off your am sick and get to your word healed? Get off that donkey called am sick and get on that thoroughbred called word healed and finish this thing. See, I'm not denying that. I just didn't look at it. You know how many people tried to get me to look at it? Everybody that saw me. They were trying to make my light of fiction a lifetime. But that didn't bother me. I just kept going. I didn't deny it. I just didn't look at it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So I was looking at my answer. What was my answer? The Bible said in Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am. So if you want me to look at am sick, I'd rather look at am healed. You see what I'm saying? He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. What's not seen? Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. So before this happened, see, the devil tried to get me to accept this. He tried to get me to accept it. Was it hurting? Yeah, you better know it was hurting. That wasn't the issue. But I'm not dealing with hurting. I'm dealing with health. I mean, you know, I got to go tonight. I don't care if I'm sad, sick, disgusted, busted, whatever. They expected me tonight where I'm supposed to go. They don't want an excuse. They want me. Why? Because my word was my bond. So I don't look at the things which are seen. I'm not temporary. I'm eternal. See, Satan's temporary. He's only got a temporary work. Then he's going to be cast into a lake of fire. And I'm going to be standing there. Let me kick him one time, Jesus, before you throw him in there. Let me just kick him myself. While we look not at the things which are seen. So what are you saying here? Write this down. What becomes easy to a believing and renewed person is impossible to a sinner or a baby Christian in his carnal state. What is impossible to nature is easy to grace. Now let me say it again. What becomes easy to a believing and renewed person is impossible to a sinner or to a baby Christian in a carnal state. What is impossible to nature is easy to grace. What is grace? Favor. In other words, when I give, people can't understand that. I can't believe that. Why you want to give money away? I don't trust everyone's money. See, that's an unrenewed mind. What they're saying is they when you become stingy, you shut down your future. That's what the devil's trying to get to you people. I'm trying to get some over there. I'm trying to create a future. He's saying, darn, don't give to that. Don't give to that. Look what he has. How did I get what I got? By giving. I don't live by your giving. I live by my giving. So don't get mad at me if I'm a blessed man. Must be a pretty good giver. Do you see? Why? Because every time I'm doing so, I'm creating future. You see what I'm saying? I'm creating future. My present things create my future. Now with the sinner or quote the baby Christian, all they want is just money. All they want, no. See, that's impossible. They can't understand. They go make a living. That's why they get hurt when they get laid off. That's why they never have enough to get by. You ever had too much month at the end of your money? You ran out of money on the 24th, then you got real spiritual and fasted from the 25th to the 1st. You ran out of money. But you're seeing people go, that's insane. You can't do that. Yes, we can. We can shut that down. But I don't get mad at them. I understand why. Let me say it again. What becomes easy to a believing and renewed person is impossible to a sinner or a baby Christian in their carnal state. What is impossible to nature is easy to grace. That doesn't mean the devil don't attack me, ladies and gentlemen. I am the head of this ministry. So the buck stops and starts at my desk. It's just the fact. If Derek wants something, they run through the chain of command, through pastor, pastor go to Kathy, Kathy come to me. Or if on the JDM side, they run it through whatever department, they get to Eddie, and then Eddie will come to me. And it's up to me to say yay or nay. When the plane needs this and that, David Deloach, who's the head of my aviation department, he'll say, Brother Jesse, we got to spend this. How much that? I said, how much? I'm a bottom line man. It's supposed to cost $100,000, but you better get ready for overages. Overages can be anywhere from $18,000 to another $100,000. Because you see, when people own monopolies, they charge what they want and you got to do what they say. That's why we came up with something in America called antitrust laws, so they couldn't control the whole destiny of someone's life. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But you see, I got to make that decision. Now, if I start looking at all that, do you know how many? I got $60 million worth of projects already facing me. Not counting just the everyday operation of this place, $60 million. And then yet God want me to believe for 1 million partners to add another 1 billion people. Then God wants me to believe for 14 satellites. 60 million is a big number, but he's looking at 6 billion. Amen. So really right now, if you watching my television would give me 6 billion and $60 million, I'd be broke tomorrow. I would spend it all. I wouldn't have a dollar to take out Ron to eat lunch the next day. 100% of it would go toward projects. That's almost impossible. Well, to the sinner and to the baby Christian. Oh, but not to me. Are you bragging? Yes. I'm bragging. Not on myself, on this God that helps me. And you know how I do it? Don't give me all, you always had big great faith. No, I just don't look at the things that are seen. I look at the things that are not seen. See, when I look at it, something impossible, Ron, you know what I look at? I look at it through the shield of faith, through the helmet of salvation. Notice that helmet's right here. I'm focused. You focus on your priority, you eliminate all your confusion. I'm like a horse with blinders on, you understand? People say, why don't you sin much? You know, I don't sin much. I just thought I'd tell you that. I don't sin much because I got blinders. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. People get mad. They're going to write me an ugly, I sin every day. Well, sinner, get saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're standing every day, you better get to an altar. Don't tell me the God inside of you can stop you from doing that kind of stuff. Come on, come on. You see what I'm saying? You put the blinkers on. Put the blinkers on. You see, it's impossible at times. See, I'm not temporary, I'm eternal. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna knock your lights out. I'm gonna live forever. Now some of y'all, yeah, you're gonna die. You ain't gonna never see it. Yeah, if Jesus tarries, I'll die in this life, but that's when I really begin to live. You ought to see how tall I am inside. You ought to see my muscles inside. I'm big, Ron. I'm big. I'm a bad man, son, inside. I'll make Mr. Universe look like Skinny Minnie. Inside. You see what I'm saying? So, when I say these things, they're impossible. I know some people think I'm flat crazy. Some of the biggest ministries think I'm crazy. But they're the ones begging. They're the ones getting divorces. They're the ones can't keep their marriages together. They can't handle the success of their ministries. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I still got the same woman I married 37 years ago. There she is right there. Wave to her, mama. Hey! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you bragging? Yeah, I'm bragging. Not on myself, but on this God that's in me. Well, why don't you chase other women? Don't look at them. But I'm just as much man as anybody. Any other man, that's not the issue. I see a pretty lady, that's a pretty lady, but I don't want the woman. Why? Why? Because blinkers. Let me tell you something. Anytime I see a woman, if a devil try to tempt me, you know what I hear? Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Man, I heard that 37 years ago. Oh, yes, sir. Well, that ain't lawful to look any other way. Do you see my point? Do you remember the vow you made? Look at the men. Huh? Remember the vow you made. Yeah, but just, whew, sometimes things are hard. Yeah, I understand that. Go to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 29. Let me help you. When you don't think you can make it, when you're starting to look at something, looking at something temporal, instead of not looking at it, you just keep looking at it, and after a while that thing gets bigger than you. No, let me tell you something. Isaiah 40 verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Isaiah 40 verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. So sometimes I look at the unbelievable, when I look at it, that's when doubt comes. I go, good Lord, how am I going to do all this? How am I going to buy 14 satellites? How am I going to pay cash for $60 million worth of project? And I get that, you know what I do? I just get up out of my desk. I start walking around. Some of my staff know it. They see me walking. What I'm doing? I'm just looking at what faith built. Oh, Lord Jesus. I look at this place when they told me I couldn't build it for the amount of money, that I would go way over budget, $3, 4, 5 million over budget. But bless God, I came under budget. So when the devil said, you can't do it, I said, look, fool, since you want to see something, I'm going to show you something. JDM is debt free. This whole complex is debt free. I'm debt free. I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm happy. You sad, sick, disgusted, and you're judging, waiting confinement. I just walk around. Glory to God. I don't know how many vehicles we have in this ministry. 17, 18, I don't know, bunches of them. Lord Jesus. I just start looking around. I said, oh, devil, you want me to look at something? Let me. I'm going to look at something. I'm going to look at what faith built. Amen. I don't look at the things that are seen. Things that are seen are temporal. They're subject. The word temporal means subject to change. My God. Are y'all enjoying this as much as I'm thinking? That doesn't mean I don't get, the other day, sometimes I'll entertain a thought. I'm not just as human as anybody else. The other day I thought, I quit. I've been working my fool head off. I quit. I quit. The Lord said, you quit, I quit too. He said, you quit, I quit. I said, you can't quit. He said, you can't neither. He said, we both made a covenant together. He said, if you quit, I quit. I'm going with you. Let them all go to hell. I said, you can't talk like that, God. He said, neither can you. Well, you know, sometimes, Lord, you just want to kill a few people. He said, tell me about it. All right. He said, I can do it and not go to jail. Glory to God. I never thought of it like that. God powerful, buddy. He said, but what makes me God is my love for people. What makes you run them roads with your white hair is love for people. And when you're tired, you just don't care. You don't look at it. You just keep going. Yeah. I said, this is a good conversation. He said, you're going to quit? No, I ain't quitting. He said, I ain't neither. I said, let's go to work. He said, let's go to work. You see my point? So what he did was he gave me power and he gave me might, the ability to produce what he said. And I got back on that plane and Aureli says, cool, Brother Jesse, you look tired. They bought me some food, sit down. And I was like, you ever feed babies and their head fall in the spaghetti? How many of your babies ever done that, baby grandma? You seen how babies do that? They just, I'm sitting there and I told them to get me some, stir-fried vegetables or something, you know, something like that. I said, I'm going to just try to eat a little lighter at night and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sitting, I'm going. And Aureli goes, man, you falling asleep eating. Yeah. Okay. So I just took it all at one time. Get this out of here. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, I felt the plane land. He said, oh, yeah. Man, I just got up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got back home, took a glass of water, went back to bed. Just walked in. Kathy goes, how was it? So between the snores, I said, it was fine, Kathy. Got some rest. What did you think of? You know, I quote scripture to myself. You want to know what I thought of? When I almost like a baby, my head falling the vegetables. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Let me show you what I quoted to myself. Let me show you. I use the word of God on me all the time. I need it. See, I'm not temporary. I'm eternal. You know, you know what I quoted to myself? I didn't have to turn to because I can quote it. But I want you to read it. Matthew 11. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor. Boy, that's me. And are heavy laden, Lord Jesus, and I will give you rest. It's in red. I like that red part. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Find meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotion. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I quoted that to me. I said, I'm out laboring, Lord. I have the whole weight of this ministry on me. But do I look sad?
No.
Because I don't look at those things. Amen. It didn't say deny it. I just don't look at it.
Amen.
Look not at the things which are seen. So I said, Jesse, go to God with this labor. And he will give you rest. So I said, yes. I said, I need to listen to my own tapes.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. See, so I made up my mind that I would create tomorrow today. Write that down.
Amen.
All of you should create tomorrow today. You that gave in the offering, you just created tomorrow and the rest of the week for you. Do you see that? Create tomorrow today. See, people say, well, tomorrow never comes. Oh, if you create it today, it will. Because why are you creating tomorrow? You're creating tomorrow in the present. You see what I'm saying? When you work out, Ron, you're actually creating tomorrow in the present. You're tearing that muscle down. Then you feed yourself vitamins and proteins and whatever it takes to build that muscle. Actually, you're creating tomorrow, but you're doing it today. You actually see the results of it tomorrow. Just because when you eat, you get a little bigger, get a little more chiseled, more cut, things, whatever it takes, whatever you're working on. It's the same way. Do you follow my point? So when you understand, see, that's what's wrong with a lot of people. They always look, yeah, but she's sick. Well, I'm not dying, she's sick. But Jesus said by his stripes she was healed. Well, I know he said that, but no, Lord, here we go again. How many times, you've heard me say it here before, how many times I drove by this piece of property when it was nothing but grass and trees? And one of my first pilots was Jack Watkins. That guy could fly a plane. I got to give Jack. Jack could flat fly a plane. He's a good flyer. And he would bring me home. And I said, stop, Jack. He said, what, brother? He thought something was wrong. I said, look, can you see it? He said, see what? I said, the building, Jack, can you see it? He said, I don't think so, brother. I said, I can see him. Can you see that church in the back corner back there? Can you see that executive office with all them columns? Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, can you see that? I said, I can see that fence, man. I can see it all. Yeah, why? I was looking at the things which were not seen, which were actually bigger in my mind than the things that were seen. Actually, I didn't see much of the grass or the trees. I just could see the buildings coming out of it. You know, that's exactly what God did when he created the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Watch this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God didn't say, wow, it's dark out here, isn't it? Did you ever hear God say that? Wow, man, look how dark it is. Oh, Lord. There ain't nothing on here but void. Huh? Did you hear him say that? He was doing it. I did exactly the same thing in the creation of this place that he did in the creation of the earth. When he saw me before I was saved, I was void and dark. But God didn't say, "Ooh, look how dark that boy is. He is so void." No, he looked at me and said, light. Be. Bam! And the light came on. So, when I see something that's dark and void, I just say, light be. What's dark and void? Cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, infectious disorder, poverty. I say, light be. And I challenge that devil. I say, you want some of me? You want to dance with me? I'm going to get some of your money today. Boy, I did make him mad. I said, I'm going to break you. Kathy said her assignment is to bankrupt the devil. I said, I did it to the Lord. I did it to Satan just the other day with a kid. Some of you heard me say it. I mean, the Lord said, give that kid $100. Now my mind thought, this is a kid. This is an 8-year-old kid. What are you going to do with $100? That's a lot of money for a kid. A lot of money for an adult. Kid, and I said, okay. I said, And I turned around and I said, I'm going to get some of your money today, devil. Because that kid good soil. I'm going to get it today. And I hadn't even thought about doing it. But when after I sold the seed, the Lord said, yeah, I'm going to take money out of Satan's camp. And do you know, that day, a man went to a bank and got $10,000 in cash. He didn't give it to me that day, but he got it that day. See, I had created my future and didn't even realize it. That kid said, that's the biggest gift I've ever seen. I said, you want some more? That's a true story. And this man said, it was 2 days later, got it? I think it was 2 days later. He said, Brother Jess, I saw you give that money to that kid. What? Yeah. Well, here's $10,000. Thank you. I can see the devil. I said, you want to see something? You thought you could steal that. You can't steal a, you can't steal a God-given seed or a God-given harvest. Now I'm using that because that's what people really cue into. You know, and, oh Lord, you know. But when you understand what I'm saying here, he giveth power to the faith, and to them that have no might, he increase it their strength. Now, when you see these things, then you'll understand this. Write this down. Coming to Christ brings with it the responsibility of learning and understanding Christ, not religion. See, people try to understand Christianity. No. Christianity, there's a lot of bad things about Christianity. In the Crusades, we did the same thing that Osama bin Laden and the extreme Muslim did. We were going to make people accept Jesus or just kill them. They're making the same mistake that Christianity made. Because you see, these decisions are not of the head or the sword, they're of the heart. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Coming to Christ brings with it the responsibility of learning and understanding Christ, not as a religion, but as a person. Didn't he say, learn of me in Matthew 11:29? Learn of me. See, what I decided to do so I would be eternal instead of temporary, it was to learn of him. Now, I have never completely learned everything about him. So my Christianity, quote, quote, has never been boring. I've never been sad, sick, disgusted about being saved. I didn't want to say. Now, before I was saved, I went to church a lot. I was sad, sick, and disgusted. I was a kid that hated church. I didn't, of course, we didn't have wonderful people like you got today teaching your children. But even if they did, it wouldn't make no difference to me. Huh. I was smart enough at 8 years old that if you believed in healing, I couldn't figure out how you got sick. Boy, and I tell you what, man, I got spanked many times because I told the truth. What? I got spanked. Well, we call it, I'm saying spank nice. No, my mama called it whooping. A whooping, boy. Man, you know, mothers don't have any sense at all. Come to a whooping. Make you lay down on the bed and say, don't move. Oh, you crazy? You gonna move, son. Lay there and I'm gonna let you beat me. You living in a dream world, woman. Don't you move. How much faith you got? Because at my Sunday school teacher, and then one time at catechism, Lord Jesus, I mean, I made the nuns, you know, they wanted to beat you and pinch you and hit you with a ruler. I never did like nuns. We had some mean nuns. Now, the priest I hung around with, because they drank that wine, I would say, give some of that wine to them nuns. Lord Jesus, kind of help them out here. Some of them nuns are tough, boy. Now, don't make me an ugly letter, but you know, how many of y'all got pinched by a nun, slapped by a nun, hit by a ruler? Good God, man. Now, we went over to the Protestants. They didn't do that very much. They didn't hit you with a ruler, but they just damn your soul into hell. You could be 4 years old. You're going to hell, you little heathen. Oh, okay. I'm going to tell your mama she's going to beat you, then they're going to send you to hell. But I had this one particular lady, it was a Sunday school teacher. And she said, we're going to talk about healing today. And I went, I stuck my little hand up. I'll change the name to protect the innocent. She wasn't innocent, but I'll just call her Sister Smith. That wasn't her real name. Sister Smith, you believe in that? Yeah, and how come you sick? And she said, shut up, Jesse. Now, I asked a very viable question. I asked a question that needed an answer. What she should have said was this, because I'm looking at the things that are seen. I'm looking more at my problem than I'm looking at my answer. And that's why this light affliction has become heavy. And it's never a moment, it's a lifetime. Do you know she went tell my mama and I got a whooping for that? Mama said, you going back to that Sunday school? I said, I ain't going. Well, I'm going to whoop you again. I get a stick. Do what you got to do. I ain't going around her. She don't believe what she says. Ho, lay down on that bed. There we go again. The chase is on. Ain't laying down on no bed, sir. I'm chasing on, sir. And my mama was fat. She couldn't run fast. My mama was real fat. I can say that now because she's in heaven. Mama was fat. Man, I tell you, when I was little, if it rained, I'd just get up under a hip and the water just go off a hip like that. I was out of the rain, you know. I just had to get underneath a hip. Mama was fat. You only got one mama. Well, I tell you, mama was something, boy. Man, I took off running. She and I slid underneath the bed. She said, get out of it. I'm going to beat you. But she couldn't pick up the bed. We used to have all the big old iron beds. Remember the big old iron beds? I mean, my little hurricane come, just tie your house to the bed. They ain't going nowhere. Remember those old, big old iron beds? Remember that? You know, all the iron beds. Mama could move anything with a hip, though. Bam, man. She could just, wham. She couldn't pick it up, but she could move anything with a hip. But when she did, I grabbed the springs and I moved with the bed. Boy, mama, you get a half a bitch, you silly. She'd swing the bed, the belt, stick, switch it. She get a half underneath, I just pull myself up. Oh, but she said, wait, you're going to have to come out because you're going to get hungry. I laid under that bed for about 8 hours. And buddy, when I come out, there she was. Come in, you little heathen. But if I could get her to lose her anger, I had it made. If I could just get that mad off of her. So I'd quote scripture to her. Mama, the Lord said, be angry and sin not. That's what it said. You're angry, Mama. You're going to sin. You don't want to go to hell beating me. Just think if you die right now, Mama, we'd both go to hell. Just beat, slap to pieces. Then she'd start laughing a little bit, you know. And I knew I had it then. I'm going to tell your dad. No, don't tell Daddy. Because Daddy could beat you when he was mad and when he wasn't mad. It didn't make no difference to Daddy. I brought you here. I can take you out. Okay. I mean, how many times he put the blood on me, son? Won't be a man. Man, he pulled one hair off my chair. Chest. Took 14 years to grow that hair. Pulled it off. I was so proud of it. I had mascara on it. That's a true story. I ain't lying. 14 years old. How many of y'all remember when you was 14, huh? Oh, man, you a man. You a man. Yeah. And my daddy looked at that and he went, y'all never did things like, y'all wasn't a bad kid. Kathy said when she got spanked, they would laugh. She should have come over my house. She wouldn't have left. But you see, what I was doing was, I was honest and got spanked for it. I asked my daddy one time, Dad, you give a lot to church, don't you? Yeah. How come we ain't blessed, like they say? Sharp, boy. That's a viable question. Why would I want to join anything that didn't work if it ain't working for you who believe it? I know it ain't going to work for somebody like me who don't believe it. Right? Huh? And you know what? Things never changed. Our church never grew. It just got old. Y'all been to a church like that? It never grows. It just gets old. 20 years later, that same church, it don't grow. It just gets old. Am I telling the truth? Then you get this. This used to be the going church in this area. What happened? What happened? It got old. And everybody came back every week. Because they love God. Now, I'm not being critical, but they love God. But it never could get out of that hole. Because they were looking at the things which are seen. How many times I heard, can y'all help us today? Because We can't pay the mortgage on the church. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. How about this? We lost our air conditioner. I hope y'all enjoy heat because we can't buy no air conditioner. How many of y'all had the funeral fans? Come on, hold your hand up. Somebody had that. I know I'm older than most people. Hold your hand. You had them funeral fans. Man, them funeral fans. Stealing them from the dead people. I couldn't get over that, man. Church steal the funeral fans. Huh? See the... Y'all have to excuse me. See the fat people get up morning. Pull that skirt out like that. Lord, sweating like a mule. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, be honest. Hold your hand. Am I telling you the truth? Look at Kathy. I can't be. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why? Well, I couldn't buy a fan, much less an air condition. Just sweat like a mule. But God will supply. I said, when? Just when. Just when. Looking at things that are seen. See, light afflictions becoming lifetimes instead of moments. My God, my God. I'm going a little long. Y'all enjoying this? I hope I'm. Let me tell you what it was. We loved God, but we were carnal. We didn't grow any. We were just carnal. We grew in religion. Oh, ho, ho. Legalism. You see your wife there, Trevor? See her right there? She couldn't have been in that church 30 years ago. She's a Jezebel. Sleeveless dress. Look at her. Get a shot of his wife. Get a shot of his wife. Look at her. She's going, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, they wouldn't let you in. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's called hot. This is Louisiana. It's hot. Jezebel. I used to say out loud, Mama, they don't know what Jezebel looked like. Jezebel died hundreds of years ago. Shut up, boy. That's the truth. I was a truthful child. And I was not liked for it. I said something one time. I thought my mama would shoot me. We had about 25 people in the church. This pastor said, I love everybody. I said, no, you don't. You don't like black people. I heard him say it. I said it. I heard him say it. He used the N-word. This is the pastor. He didn't like black people. I just love it. Crying like a lion dog. We just love it. I said, no, you don't like black people. Mommy hit me. Got whoop again because I spoke the truth. Now, it's funny, but it wasn't funny. It was handling the word of God deceitfully. The only reason they ever made it because God granted mercy. Like I read in the first verse there when I took it to 2 Corinthians 4. He granted mercy. We faint not. I just wanted to know why. Write this down. Despair is the yoke put on you by Satan through the things that you see in your natural life. See, he makes you despair. See, he said, we're distressed and persecuted. You understand what I'm saying? So, I've had many opportunities to despair. Oh, yeah, that's called life. But I don't look at it because it's temporal. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just being honest here. People are, he just judged. No, that's the way that we lived. And I never forget, man, my Lord, you talk about come down on the Catholic people. When Mama went from a Catholic to a Protestant, you'd have thought, Lord, Jesus, that we needed Clorox bleaching because we was Catholic. I never heard of a church split till I got to a Protestant church. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I heard in the Protestant church to give to people. You didn't see much of it, but in the Catholic church, they fed poor people. They did everything they could. See, I was putting two and two together and coming up four. Now, what I didn't understand on the Catholic side is how could I get absolution and go back out and sin so fast? All right, John. Because, see, I never changed. I asked for forgiveness, but I never repented. That's how I could go in that confessional booth and come out feeling good for a few seconds. Boy, let me buy a candle. Lord Jesus, I'm feeling good right now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because I know when I walk out this church, I'm a man, I'm heading for sin like a white on rice. Because you see, I knew how to ask for forgiveness. How you do that? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I know how to do that. But I couldn't change. That's the first thing I noticed at the Catholic Church that was wrong. And it was the exact same way at the Protestant Church. They'd come to the altar, but they was real loud. Lord God, oh Jesus, I'm such a sinner. Oh God. Oh Lord, forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. What's up, mama? Hey, what's up? Same thing. The same thing. Am I telling the truth here? See, I'm not temporary. I'm eternal. I want something to work, not once in a while, Dina. I want to work all the time. All the time. All the time. I should be blessed all the time. I should be healed all the time. I should love all the time. I really don't have any choice but to love. He says, love those that persecute you. Boy, I mean, God don't give you no out. Bless those that persecute you. Or bless those that curse you. I don't like being cussed out. It's just something about cussing. It's worse than a hit. Don't like that. People borrowing stuff from me and they never bring it back. Oh. Hey, can I borrow your washer? Yeah. 6 weeks later, it ain't. Where is it? You ever had anybody borrow your car, burn all your gas out, and bring it back empty and dirty? Ooh, Lord. And the Lord said, lend it to him again. Lend it to him again. He don't give you no outs, man. Because he knows love is greater than anything anybody can do you.
That's right. Come on, Doc. Come on.
But he did give us one out. He said, you got to love everybody. But he didn't say you have to like everybody. So I'm lending you this washer, God love it. But let me tell you something, suck, I don't like you. You understand? You get the point? I expect to be here at 6 o'clock this afternoon. Why do you have to even tell somebody that? Every time I ever borrowed anyone's car, I always filled it up with gas and washed it and cleaned it and brought it back. I always did. That's before I was saved. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? That's before I was saved. How much more do I do after I'm saved? So I'm just creating my future. Let me show you this. The reason why the church would have gotten such bond, they're carnally minded. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 real quickly, and I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 8. Y'all enjoying this?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8. I got to hurry, man. I got to head up myself. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 is powerful. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Now that's a big statement. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, much less please yourself. Let me read it all again. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Why is the church world trying to make a carnal mind subject to the law of God? It can't be. It has to be transformed. It's conformed to carnality, but it has to be transformed to life. But yet the church world tries to get you a carnal mind to be subject to the law of God. People get mad. Let me just say it. A person that's not born again, it's going to have a hard time with you telling them they can't have an abortion. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Why? Because they're carnally minded. You're trying to get them to believe a law of God, trying to get a carnal mind to be subject to that law. That's why you can't legislate morality. I don't care how many signs you get out in front of an abortion clinic. Don't care. That ain't changing them people.
You might get one or two, but I'm talking about an overall where it changes the whole government and the whole nation of thinking. You're trying to get a carnal mind to be subject to the law of God. It don't work. What you do is change someone's heart. The heart will transform the mind, and you'll stop killing babies. Not fetuses, babies. But I understand pro-choice because I live in a democracy. Do I have the right to tell you what you do with your body? No, not if you live in a democracy. But somebody got to speak for someone who can't speak.
All right.
That's what we're saying. But you're never going to win that battle if you're trying to make a carnal mind subject to the law of God. It says, neither indeed can it be. So what you do is let your light so shine.
Yes, yes.
To such a degree that you begin to value life. Even if they don't have oil. Even if that country doesn't have any economic base to bless this country. But they're living people. It's called Africa. And when you start valuing life, then you won't let the Holocaust that have happened and the ethnic cleansings that have gone on. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? See, then you create a future for a child who doesn't have a future. Yeah, you give them more than a cup of soup. Give them an education. And you teach them the oracle and power of God to such a degree that God blesses their land, which has nothing in it, nothing on it. And all of a sudden it begins to subsidize, if you want to use the right word, the nation. And then they can make a product that you want. Let me read it again. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither did can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'll say this in close. Get on another very, very touchy subject. Homosexuality. You see, it's how you say something to get people to receive something. It's very hard to tell someone they're not homosexual and that that's not an abnormal lifestyle if they think it's normal. That can only be changed by something of the heart. You see what I'm saying? I'll say this publicly in the church and on this website. I don't hate homosexuals. You heard them say love the sinner but hate the sin. I understand that, but you know what? It's not my job to call them a sinner. It's my job to preach against sin, and if it hits you and sticks,
come on.
But that's not my job to judge you as a sinner. But if I say something under the scripture that pops you and goes, that's telling you to fix that. Yeah, but I have these feelings. Well, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. That's really not the problem. The problem is yielding to that. Now, when I say that, it's called hate speech. No, it's not. It's called truth serum. I'm just trying to stop somebody from going to hell. I don't believe in hell. That don't change it. It's still the truth. But I don't hate you. How can I hate you? When God sent me to the world to preach the gospel.
All right. Amen.
Come on, doctor.
Amen.
But see, that's another subject that you ain't gonna win that war. Because see, that's gotta be a decision of the heart. But if you think they're so bad, why don't you look at, just go down to New Orleans on Labor Day. Oh wait, let's don't do Labor Day. Let's just go on any Saturday down there. Do you think all that sexual sin is not as bad as decadence weekend? Oh, let's go to Las Vegas, the Mustang Ranch. Mustang Salina. Huh? Well, hey, it's legal. Oh, is that not as bad as San Francisco? It is in God's eyes. You know why? Because both places is use and abuse. No commitment to nothing, but nothing but flesh. I had a guy one time, and this is my last statement, in Shreveport. He was living with this girl. Well, I said something that stuck. I wasn't judging him. I didn't even know he was living with the girl. It just stuck. So he comes up after me. I mean, after service, he said, Brother Jesse. Now watch, I'm trying to create his future. He says, you said something, something really hit me. He said, I really love God. He said, and my girlfriend loved God. I said, well, I don't doubt that. That's good. It's great. He said, but we've been living together. I said, oh, okay. He said, now listen. Listen. He said, I'm going to move into the other bedroom. Exactly what he said. Meanwhile, I love God and she love. We decided that we ain't going to sleep together. We're living in the other bedroom. I looked at him. I said, does that bed have wheels on it? He said, wheels? Yeah, I said, you know, wheels. Sometimes I got wheels. Well, yeah, it just so happened. I said, I'm not a gambler, but I bet $100 it'll roll into her room before the end of the night. I said, let me ask you something. Do you love this girl? Oh, yeah. She's standing right there. I said, do you love this man? Oh, God, yeah. I said, what are you doing this afternoon? She said, well, nothing. I said, well, I'll marry you. Then you can knock yourself out tonight. Can I just be honest here? Just knock yourself out, son. He went, well, I said, you don't love her enough to commit to her? Which means not just your body, but your money, your future, your life. I said, dude, are you willing to commit to this man, your money, your future, your life? You've committed your body. Let's take it further. Do you love each other? Yeah. Now, the pastor was with me. Pastor Jerry was his name. I said, Jerry, you want to help in the ceremony? I said, they went, we need to get married. He said, I don't know why we never thought of that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Now, you know, do you know how many people today don't even think about that? So we got him married. We was finished about 5:30. I said, now, go home. Knock yourself out. Don't hurt yourself, just knock yourself out. I said, now, in the sight of God, everything's fine. The marriage bed's undefiled. Don't you feel better now? Now you're not in sin. All this thing that stuck, washed away. I created a future. Do you know that couple is still married? That was 27 years ago. 27 years ago. They still married. I saw him the other day, bald headed now. I said, man, what happened? He said, I knocked myself out too many times. I said, well, hey. He said, I still love it. He said, I'll never forget you telling me that. I said, we created a future. I said, y'all have any children? Oh, yeah. He said, you're grown now. He said, I got some of the best kids you ever saw. I said, isn't that amazing? Now you created a future for them. Now you think about that. I'm not temporary. I am eternal. Did you enjoy it today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet right now. I know I went a little long. I couldn't help myself. Good Lord, I got to head out of here. I got to go to New Jersey. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Play me something. One of these guys, if y'all don't mind, come up here real quickly. What time is this? 12:15. I'm pretty sure the kids are, I hope they're not out of cookies. Lord Jesus, you know. Let me just say this without even blinking. We care about you. We really do. I just don't want to know you in this life. I would like to continue our relationship in heaven. I would like to go to heaven, and everybody that's standing here, we'll all meet together and say, you remember that Sunday you preached on it? I'm not temporary, but it's eternal. Yeah. Remember you had to rush out and go to New Jersey? Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice to carry it on and on and on for eternity? See, Ron, I expect to be your friend for eternity. I've been to your house on the earth. I'm going to your house in heaven. That's a wonderful thing, you know. Think about that. That's a blessing. We just go on. Hallelujah. We'll have different clothes on, robes of righteousness.
All right.
But see, if you don't know the Lord, it won't continue. And I can't do a thing about it. But simply ask you to accept Him. Not religion. That's why we don't pressure you here. We want you to come because you love God. And that you think about God. I don't think there's a day go by. I don't believe there's a couple of hours go by I don't have God on my mind. In some way, shape, or form. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to meet Him today. I'm going to ask you to let the light of love go into your heart. So if you don't know Jesus, every head bowed. And you'd like to get saved for the first time. I'm talking about knowing God instead of knowing about Him. Or just maybe you've been looking at things that you don't need to see. That these temptations are getting the best of you. No, you're not backsliding to hell, but you're not where you should be. You need to rededicate and bring yourself closer to God. Would you lift your hand up? Just hold your hand up. Right where you are. Thank you, I see those hands. Can I see others quickly? Thank you, I see those hands. Way in the back, I see your hand. Yes, I do, I see your hand. Thank you. Now that hand means one of two things. That hand says, but Jesse, I know a lot about God, but I don't know God. And I need to get saved for the first time. Or that lifting hand is saying, I'm struggling with my Christianity, but Jesse, I'm not backslidden to hell, but you know, I need to be closer to God where temptations don't bother me no more. And if I get that close to God, I can live the life He really wants me to live. Could I see another hand? Don't miss my Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. Yes, I do. I want everyone to look at me. You that are watching all over the world, faith will flow right through that website right there and touch you and honor you. Now, I could bring you forward, but I'm going to do it as a family of love. Everyone take someone's hand right now. Now, you just took someone's hand that was lifted up. Now, you see, when that person reached over and took your hand, you may not even know them, and you might. I don't know. But see, you made a connection. You made a connection with the people of Covenant Church. Now you're going to make a connection with God. Everyone say it with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a standing ovation. What a blessing.